Hello and welcome to this episode of Passionate About People. My name is Phil Dave, a broadcaster who works in, well, quite a few subjects really, mental health and well-being and technology.
Hello, I'm Graham Godfrey. My business is called Passionate About Business and I'm a life and business mindset coach. I look after CEOs, owners of businesses. I specialise partly in the music industry and a whole cross-section and support and help people if they've got a problem. And I now have my own radio show on Second City Radio and hope you can tune in to Nobby's Feel Good Radio Show. And we play 80s and 90s music and spread a feel-good factor and positivity over the airwaves.
Excellent stuff. Today we are joined by Andrew Pollock. Now, Andrew has come to join us to talk about Hatha Yoga and mental health. After all, that is the title of this particular episode. Now, Andrew, I include myself in this. I am going to hold my hands up. I have no idea. I know what yoga is, but I don't know what Hatha Yoga is. What's the difference?
There's many types of yoga: fast flowing, slow flowing, extremely slow flowing. If you imagine yoga as a tree with all the different variations as branches, Hatha Yoga is the trunk of the tree. Every other type of yoga comes from Hatha Yoga.
So it's sort of like the genesis of yoga, I suppose.
Yeah, I would definitely say so, yes. And in the form of yoga that I do, which is a version called Himalayan Hatha Yoga, I was just taught by this incredible gentleman who came from India. He lived at the foothills of the Himalayas. He then travelled around India learning under different yoga gurus. And as fate would have it, he turned up in my local gym and I started doing classes with him.
Is there anything that you could say that would distinguish Hatha Yoga from regular? So, for example, I know there's the downward dog. No funny comments, Graham. And I also know the is it like the tree of life, I think they call it, or something like that, where you sort of like you put yourselves up in like a almost like branch position. That's about as much as my yoga knowledge extends. So what's unique to Hatha Yoga? What could we see in that you wouldn't see in other types of yoga?
The style of Hatha Yoga that I do, we like to hold the positions for at least a couple of breaths. So it gives you an opportunity to feel the stretch where you're meant to be feeling it, to breathe. There's other types of yoga, Ashtanga yoga, which is more of, for argument's sake, more of a cardiovascular workout. So you would move with every breath, which is a lot faster. I would say that Hatha Yoga is sort of more technical. It's slower. It calms you down more because you hold the positions for longer. It suits me. And it suits a lot of people. My wife doesn't particularly like the style of yoga I do because it's too slow for her. She feels if she's doing exercise, she needs to be breaking out in a sweat and really out of breath, whereas I like to take it slower, be more controlled. It's a bit more technical.
My wife, Lucy, has been doing yoga for probably 15 years. And has been encouraging me to do it for ages. And just so you know, Andrew and I went to school together when we were 11 years old. So probably almost 40 years ago. No, probably longer than that, actually. I'm not going to say my age. Now, in business, lots of people suffer from stress and anxiety. You know, they're under a lot of pressure. What's always fascinated me is how can yoga help in that way?
In yoga, we put you through stress on the mat. So you might be folded forward, you're not able to breathe, it's all very uncomfortable. When we bring your mind into your breath so that you can calm down and you deal with the stress on the mat, and you can take those techniques away and use it in business. You've heard of the expression, you can't see the wood for the trees. Well, this is what yoga does for you. You're sitting in front of your desk, you've got big problems, everything's coming at you from a million different angles. You could just sit back, take 5 minutes, focus on your breath, focus on your body. It calms your mind, it calms your heart, and then you come back to the problem with a clear head. So, yeah, we put you through stress on the mat, we teach you how to deal with that stress, and then you can take it into your everyday life. You're driving in your car, you're late for an appointment, the clock is ticking, you're getting wound up. There's nothing you can do. In one of your previous podcasts, you talked about there are problems that you can control and there are problems that you can't control. So if you're in your car, you're getting stressed out, you're going to be late for an appointment, there's nothing you can do about it. The best thing you can do is to step back, calm yourself down, so that when you eventually get to your appointment, you're in control of yourself and you're not all flustered and hot and bothered. And so this is one of the great aspects that, yoga can bring to business life in general, basically.
And what is your life in general? Is this your day job? Do you do yoga as a sort of a career, or how did you sort of stumble across it?
Well, Phil, during lockdown, yes, this is my career. Once I left school and left Graham behind, I did an apprenticeship as a diamond setter, and I've worked up in Hatton Garden ever since, just by myself, very, very small. But every day I'd be sitting at the bench, hunched over. Like many people, after a certain amount of time, just sitting still all day long, it takes your toll on your body. And I used to go to the gym. In fact, Graham will most probably laugh, because at school, we weren't the most athletic of people. Since I've left school, I do more exercise now than, ever. And I did various classes. We'd go to the gym, we'd do weights, martial arts, bit of this, bit of that. But what always intrigued me was I'd walk past a room where they were doing yoga, but it was always full of women and it was very intimidating to go into. I eventually built up the courage to go in. It was the best thing that ever happened to me, basically. So I did yoga for about 10 years, and then my instructor was saying that he was going to be doing, I did various types of yoga, and then I fell in with this great fella, Yogi Ashokananda. In the yoga circles, he's quite well known. He said, I'm teaching yoga training, would you like to join in? And then he insisted that I joined in. So I did some teacher training with him, and this was in 2013, and I qualified, and I've been teaching yoga and doing my jewellery at the same time. So part of my training was to set up a class. So I set up a class in my building at work, which is full of jewellers, because it's so beneficial to people who are just sitting still all day long. You need to stretch. So just going off piece slightly, if you've got a cat or a dog, the first thing that animal does once it wakes up is it stretches. As human beings, we jump out of bed, brush our teeth, cup of tea, continue our day. 5 minutes worth of stretching in the morning, that's all it takes, 5 minutes, you will feel the benefits. But who's got the time? Everybody's got the time. You just need to make it part of your routine. To get back to your question, I do jewellery, but for the past year, I've done no jewellery. I teach classes.
I must say, folks, that Andrew is a very, very good jeweller. Just he's played that bit down. The thing that interests me is that I know we're a bit older than you, Phil, but we're in our 50s. Sometimes strenuous exercise. You know, we've been in lockdown, and I go out for a walk occasionally. When we weren't in lockdown, and I would go to I have been to a few yoga classes. It's true, they were all full of women. I felt a little bit intimidated. But what I realized when I went was how strong they were, but also how we were able to go at our own pace. So it didn't feel too difficult. And I can tell you that the results afterwards, I was aching a bit afterwards, and I didn't continue it. But what advice could you give to, say, men in their 50s who would like to start yoga? Because this is not a new thing. I mean, this has been around for hundreds of years.
There's an old expression, how do you eat an elephant? And the answer is one bite at a time. So whether it be in business or sport or anything, you know, don't be intimidated by the end result. Set yourself small goals. And it's just, you just turn up. Let me tell you about a lady I had in one of my classes. I run these face-to-face classes, and this lovely lady turned up about our age. It's quite overweight. And she did the whole class, but she mainly sat there. And after the class, she said to me, Andrew, I won't be able to do half the moves, but what with your technique and the breathing and everything, I just find it really calming. It calms my mind. It helps me focus on my breath. Do you mind if I just sit in the class? I'll do what I can. I'll never be able to do downward dog. And I said, please just turn up. It's fine. You know, yoga is more than just, you get out of it what you put in. So there is the physical exercise part of it. So you're stretching, you're straining, you're balancing. There's also the breathing aspect of it, which is highly underplayed. And breathing is really, really important. The more you focus on your breathing, the more you're aware of your breath, it calms you down. It's meditation. A lot of people think that meditation, you have to do this, you have to do that. No, meditation is just being able to switch off your brain from everyday thoughts and just think about nothing. So if you're thinking about your breathing, you're not thinking about your shopping, this happens, that happens. So anyway, this lady's in my class. She's quite heavily overweight. She comes every week, once a week. She joins in. She does a little bit, a very, very little bit. Out of the whole class, she does maybe 1%. Anyway, 9 months later, we're doing the class. She does a downward dog. She was ecstatic. She literally had tears in her eyes. I can't believe that I've managed to do a downward dog. And I told her, I said, it's because you move with your breath. You've been sitting here. Whilst you've been sitting here, you've been breathing. You've been strengthening your core. And lo and behold, now you've got the strength to support your weight in a downward dog. So it doesn't matter. We're all built differently. Everybody, you know, you have your strengths, you have your weaknesses. There's a hell of a lot online and on the TV about yoga, and you see it being done, and all these people are 20-year-old, they've got bodies like ballet dancers, they're doing moves which most people, without sounding horrible, would never ever be able to achieve. You don't have to do that. All you need to do is what you can do. You listen to your body, and the more you do, the more you can do. I've had quite a few men turn up who are used to doing other sports, and they're quite muscly and they're quite big. And when you've got muscles, you're not very flexible. And, you know, over time, they achieve something.
I think it's very interesting. And I think after this conversation, I'm going to start doing yoga again. The thing that I find fascinating, I mean, I meditate every morning for 5 to 10 minutes and work on my breathing. And it does help with stressful situations later on in the day. But I think the thing that really interests me about what you're saying is that it keeps you in the present moment. I think we lose sight of what's happening now. We sort of concentrate a lot on what's happened in the past, and we worry about what's going on in the future. But I think it's fascinating how perhaps you can focus on being still.
It's really interesting you mentioned about sort of the past and the future. Is that's the one thing I take away from all of this, is it's very much about the here and now. If you worry about something as, and I say trivial, obviously it's quite essential. If you think of something as subconscious as breathing, you kind of just hope that it happens naturally. But when you stop and think about it, you don't really have a choice but to think about breathing. And I could imagine that that's sort of part and parcel of what makes it very relaxing. I have to be honest, I might be with that woman though, who, if I did a downward dog, I'd probably have tears in my eyes as well, but probably not for the same reason, I suspect.
I thought it was called a down dog, but downward dog, who cares? When I did it, I have to say that when I got up, the blood had rushed to my head and I found it very difficult to do. And it's one of those things that when I meditate, I concentrate on my breathing. So I almost feel the breathing coming in and out of my nose, and that feeling is so calming. And we say to people when they're having a panic, breathe deeply, take your time. So what do you think the long-term effects have been for you, Andrew, in actually practicing yoga yourself?
Well, one of the things I thought of is, it's like insurance for my old age. I don't need to be able to run for a bus when I'm 60. But I want to be able to bend down and put my socks on without putting my back out. And I can achieve that. When I first started yoga, I couldn't touch the floor with my legs straight. I couldn't do this. I couldn't do that. It's the little things. All of a sudden, I'm sitting down. You're stretching forward. I can touch my toes. Wow, it's an achievement. It's a physical achievement, you can see. And what I now love about teaching is, like this lady, when I see people who achieve something that they've been struggling for, it's just wonderful because we've all got it in us. And getting back to the breathing side of things, You're right, Phil. Breathing is a natural thing. But when you focus on your breathing, I mean, I work with a few friends who do Ironman competitions. So basically, they're exercising for like, they do a competition. They're out there for like 12 hours nonstop. And I say to them, guys, if when you're on your bike and when you're running, you focus on your breath. You're not just breathing into your chest. You fill up your chest, you fill up your tummy. You will be bringing more oxygen into your body, which obviously takes more white blood cells around your body, which will help with your fatigue and stuff. And they don't particularly enjoy the physical yoga side of it, but they enjoy the breathing exercises. And then I've got other friends who, I can't sleep at night, Andrew, my mind is racing. And I say to them, listen, lie in bed and focus on your breath. It's very, very simple. You follow your breath. It goes in through your nose, it goes past your throat, your chest to your tummy. And then as you exhale, you just follow your breath. And that's all you need to do. And then all of a sudden, you'll be aware that your mind is wandering and you're thinking about something else. Don't stop thinking about something else. Draw your awareness back to your breath. It's easier to refocus on your breathing than to try and stop thinking about something. And that will calm your mind. That's all meditation, and you'll have a great night's sleep.
And Andrew, what would you say to somebody who, let's say they're, this is a bit ridiculous, but maybe it isn't ridiculous. What would you say to someone who was, say, 75 years old, 80, 90, who decided that they wanted to start yoga, or somebody who was younger and wanted to continue well into their later years?
You're never too old. When I was teaching in the golf club, I used to have this lovely lady turn up. She was in her 90s. And she used to say to me, it used to make me laugh. It used to make everybody laugh. She'd turn up at the class and she'd say, Andrew, I might not be too good today. I've just done a Zumba class.
Amazing.
No word of a lie. She was in her 90s. I've got a couple of ladies. I know they won't mind me saying they're in their mid-70s. When we were doing the face-to-face classes, I rent space in a school in Bushy. We were outside. We were able to use the fields and everything. I would run a class. I'd have a lady bring her six-year-old daughter. I'd have a mid-70s lady turning up as well. We'd do an hour and a half of exercise, and people just do what you want. You know, you don't have to be able to balance on one finger. You don't. A lot of people are misguided in what you need to achieve in yoga. The fact that this 90-year-old lady was just standing up, sitting down, standing up again, sitting down throughout an hour. What fantastic exercise. Forget all the other moves she's doing. My mum, bless her, she finds it a bit difficult to bend down and get something out of the lower cupboards. And it takes her 20 minutes to stand up again. So just, you know what? Use it or you lose it, basically. And you're never too old and it's never too late to start something new, especially yoga. And especially the type of yoga I do. There's so many different branches of yoga out there. You might have tried one and you really didn't like it. Well, that's one style. Try a different style. It's just like, I don't know, cars. There's different types of cars. You might want a two-seater car. You might want a four-door car. You might want a big people mover. So just because you've seen one type of car doesn't mean that's all there is. The type of yoga I teach is very, very slow. It's very, very controlled. We start off sitting down doing warm-up stretches because I feel if you're seated, you can do a stretch. You've got more control over your body. You're not going to pull a muscle because you're not putting all of your body weight into it. So we start off with a 20-minute warm-up, and then we do a bit more energetic exercise, and then you do the warm down. And throughout it all, I talk you into the move. I talk you out of the move. I make sure you breathe, and I make sure you feel the stretch where you're meant to be feeling it, because a lot of people, they go to a class and the teacher's calling out all of these names in Sanskrit, and unless you're an expert in yoga, you don't know what the hell's going on. My type of teaching is, say for argument's sake, I want you to take your hands up in the air. I will tell you, as you inhale, you take your hands up. You press your palms together. You feel the stretch in the outside of your muscle. Take your awareness to your chest. Lift your chest up more. focus on breathing. And rather than saying, you know, do the hokey cokey finoki move, I don't do that. I will teach you how to do the move. I will talk you into the move. I will talk you out of the move. And certain people like it and certain people don't like it, which is fine. You know what? You take out of the class what you like.
I feel like this is almost a case of yoga for dummies. So actually, this sounds quite appealing to me. But I can't help but think, I know that obviously passionate about people ordinarily, we talk about stuff pertaining to business. And I wonder whether or not there'll be some people listening out there who have more of a business mindset and think, why are they talking about yoga? This is a bit random. But actually, I'm thinking there's got to be huge plus points to those who are maybe in a stressful job, who actually could see some sort of gain from all of this.
There are a couple of things that interest me. We can talk about the hokey finoki move after the podcast. I'd love to know what that is. But I think I can imagine, obviously, people are working at home at the moment. So there must be, I'd like maybe for you to describe a couple of stretches that somebody could do moving when they're at home. But also be interested to know, what would it be like going into people's offices and helping them do a bit of yoga?
Going into people's offices, just before lockdown, I was building up my business and I was going into a few offices in town, lunchtime and after work, just doing a 45-minute class. And as I said to you before, guys, you're sitting down all day. The great thing about yoga is it doesn't matter how good or how bad you are, it will make you aware of your posture. So you're sitting in front of your desk and you're all slumped over. And all of a sudden, you remember, I'm meant to be sitting upright. I'm meant to be stretching my head up. I'm meant to be drawing my shoulders down. And at first, it's a bit uncomfortable because it's obviously more comfortable to be slumped forward. But the more you start to sit upright, the better you feel in the long run. You'll get up after a day's work. You won't have an aching back, because everything is in a line. You imagine your head is quite heavy and your head is on your neck, which is right on top of your spine, which is right on top of your hips. So if you're sitting in correct alignment, you're not putting strain on your body. And when you're slumping forward and everything, everything's out of alignment. So doing work in the office, apart from the physical side of it, which is fantastic, as I said to you, the breathing side of it as well really helps, because it calms you down, you know. Everybody gets a bit annoyed sometimes, and you need to be able to step back, draw yourself back to reality by just breathing. Only takes a couple of minutes. You don't have to spend half an hour doing it, and you come back to the problem with a clear head. Simple. I say it's simple. I've never worked in an office. I don't know. And as for doing exercises, you know, you don't have to have a lot of space. You can be sitting in your chair at work. What you need to do is you need to sit up nice and tall. Imagine you've got a piece of string tied to the top of your head, and that is constantly stretching your head up, and you've got weights drawing your shoulders down. So straight away, you're sitting up nice and straight. Your head is tall. Your spine is strong. Your shoulders are drawn down. And then just move with your breath. As you exhale, turn to look over your left shoulder. As you inhale, bring your face to the center. As you exhale, look over your right shoulder. So you do that a couple of times. You've got to be really careful with your neck. Everything has to be done smoothly and with control. And then what you can do is you can interlace your fingers and stretch your palms up to the sky and just do a big stretch. And as you're breathing, you keep stretching and keep breathing and keep stretching. And you will take all of the stress and strain out of your back. And you will feel simple. And those are just two very, very basic moves that you can do just to take the tension out of your neck and shoulders if you're sitting at work.
That's really weird, you know, because I'm sure you would have just seen just now that I was trying to sort of go along with that in terms of the breathing and the turning of the neck. And instantly that's done something. I am notorious for having a pretty bad neck. I've had it for many, many years. I've had physio on it for several times over the years as well. So neck's always been a problem for me. But that was just really odd just now. It sort of almost felt like I'd just done something to help it a bit. I hope I haven't made it worse. I mean, there's distinct possibility, but I don't think I have. But anyway, sadly, I can't believe this, but we're out of time. I've thoroughly enjoyed it personally, being educated in yoga, because I knew very little about it before. And I feel as though that now actually I've received a half-decent education on it. So, of course, the question is, Andrew, if anyone wants any more information about what you do and where you do what you do, where do they go?
Log on to andrewpollack.com, P-O-L-L-A-C-K, and there's a link there. Email me and I will contact you. Simple.
If you want to contact me, have a look at my website, passionateaboutbusiness.co.uk, or alternatively, you can email me at gg@passionateaboutbusiness.co.uk. I get lots of messages after these podcasts, so please keep sending them in.
And if for whatever ridiculous reason you want to get in touch with me, then you'll find me across social media at Mr. Phil Dave. Gentlemen, it's been an absolute pleasure. I think we should all go off and do some stretches now. So, Andrew Pollack, thank you very much indeed for joining Graham Godfrey and myself, Phil Dave, on this episode of Passionate About People.
Thank you for having me, chaps.